This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for tonight, Jesus. We have come by the Spirit for faith and love. We have come before Jesus, the minister of the New Testament. Before Jesus, the minister of the true tabernacle. We have come to Jesus that is ministering in our midst. We have come to Jesus, the high priest. We have come to you, Jesus, the bishop and the shepherd of the flock. We have come to you, Jesus. Jesus, we have come to you. You say you will not, everyone that comes to you, not cast away. We have come to you, Jesus, to receive again ministry from you. You are being exalted by your Father to minister. To minister. We are here to receive ministry from you, Son of God. You are the minister of the latter day times. Jesus, you are the minister of the latter times. We have come to receive ministry. Receive ministry of your thoughts, ministration of your ways, ministration of your spirits. We are here to receive from you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Enable me as a minister of the New Testament. Show me great mercy, Son of God. Cause me to receive that which you have prepared for us. Give us both your word. Give us light. Let's giddle me up with your Urim and Tumim. Cause me to divide portions. Portions of holy things and most holy things. Show me help, Father. Grant unto me great grace. Honor to your name, Lord. Glory to you, Jesus. Praise to you, Son of God. In Jesus' name, we are prayed.
Amen.
Semina fare tefena carfinu cumparafansa. Safana shafra tetamana quatiba. Maga egedimo vahezola. Ezola I have no host and the harvest. Zanko vending a harvest. Mata petum paliant patinent. Sito pesh to fendelent in a man offending. Santom pidu roman tadia. Gap not a gap, set on a gap. Saptunig in a gap, bridge the gap. Satomek natu fantilegen a mante ant a gap. Sio pays to open, sio pays to show, sio pays to near, sio pays to cope, sio mays to one. Makasta sin a man the one. Come near, satomek tanabani ant one. Make one. Make one. Bridge. Bridge the gap. Bridge the gap. Bridge the gap. Soul to soul. Soul to soul. Soul to soul. Heart to heart. Panting. Panting. More panting. More panting. More palpitations. More panting. Come nearer. Come nearer. Soul. Soul. My voice. Hear my voice. To 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 hear my speaking. It's key. It's key. It's key. It's key. It's key. It's key in this place. It's key in this place. It's key as you draw nearer. As you draw nearer. It's key for to draw nearer again. It's key. It's key. Matelemana voice. 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 Bridging the gap. I'm closing the gap. I'm closing the gap. I'm come nearer. I'm come nearer. By my voice. By my voice. By my voice. Show again. Another showing. Another showing. Another showing. See the Spirit of God.
There's a lot of things I have in my spirit, but let's just start by the help of the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, from verse 1. One to go. But of the times and season, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. Look at the church. This church, Paul said that when it comes to times and season, he do not need to write to them. Because, why? It's not because he doesn't want to write. This church has something that every other church lack. Then he make mention what this church has that majority of the church do not have. And verse 2, what is this church? I want to go, everybody want to go? Can you say, for you yourselves? No, perfectly. So this church have come into a place of perfect knowledge of times and seasons of the Lord. They are not just come to know afraidly. They don't just know, they know dimly. Apostles don't lie. Because the judge will say that, when I heard of your faith and your love, and how do I know that this church knew, that the Thessalonian church knew very well? Because it came to a time because of our understanding of times and season of the day of the Lord. So they would have understanding of times and season of the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord means the ministry of the Son of God. That's what they call the day of the Lord. The ministering of the Son of God. Isaiah chapter 61. So you saw that this church has gone past the proclaiming the acceptable year of the Lord. The Thessalonian church have gone beyond the acceptable year of the Lord. They are in where? The day of the Lord. For you yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. They are aware of the day of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 62, from verse 2, 3, 4. He called them to proclaim the Lord, accept the year of the Lord. So this Thessalonian church, as at 1 Thessalonians 5, they have gone past things that they have gone past the acceptable year of the Lord. They were already receiving the day of the Lord. And there are programs of the day of the Lord. So to proclaim the assembly of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God. In the day of the vengeance of our God, there are activities that the day of vengeance of our God there is going to be interlapping with some things. So one of the activities of the day of God, or the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord God, the day of God, or the day of the Son of God. The Lord there is the Son of God. What they wrote there, you know perfectly about the God. The Lord cometh, the day of the Lord. That the Lord there is the God, is the Son of God. You'll find that in the Acts of Apostles chapter 3. This same Jesus, whom they are crucified, and the Lord made both Lord and Christ. Say made. Acts 2:36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God, say God. So the day of the vengeance of God, God made somebody. God made Jesus. That God had made that same Jesus, the whom you crucify, both Lord and Christ. In the year of the Lord, there is the Lord. The Lord is the end of every journey. Or the Lord is the owner of every dispensation. That's the person I own. The word the Lord mean master. The word the Lord mean the owner. The word the Lord mean the inheritor. The inheritor. So, Jesus is the inheritor of the acceptable year of the Lord, and is also the inheritor of the day of God. So, you can see, in the days of the vengeance of our God, vengeance there, when God will be avenging his enemies. One of the places in Isaiah, he called that vengeance of God, he called it the day of visiting and the recompense. That was avenger, he called it recompense. Isaiah 35, 40, 3 and 40. You remember that these two things were also mentioned in Hebrews chapter 12, 13. Wherefore lift up the hand which are hung down, and what? The feeble knee. Make straight path for your feet. Let that which is lame be turned out of the way. But let it rather be what? Be healed. Strengthen you what? And what? Confirm the feeble knee. So you can see that the day of the vengeance of our God is the day that God is coming. But God does not come. God is on the throne. The God that comes is the Lord. The Lord comes. The Son comes on behalf of his God and his Father. So that's what that 1 Thessalonians 5 was talking about. That the day of the Lord, you for yourself know perfect that the day of the Lord so cometh. So cometh as a thief in the night. So the day of the Lord does not come until you have finished the years. You have finished the acceptable year. So the acceptable year is when they are giving the things of Christ. Christ made up the acceptable year. Whereas the Son of God made up the day of God. So you can see that this church, Thessalonica, they know perfectly the coming of the day of the Lord. It's not the day of the Lord. It's not 2015. It's not 2025. It's not 2026. It's not 2030. The day of to know perfectly is to know the programs. Is to know what is the Lord doing. Because it's not just for you to know. The day of the Lord is here. And this is not the first time people have said the day of the Lord is. If you have grown up in the church world, you have heard people make mention of Matthew 24. For the day of the Lord shall come like a thief in the night. What are the things that are substantiated So it is an ability for you to align with those that are shunshanshete in the day of the law that try to tell you that you understand perfectly the day of the Lord. Everybody can say, the Son of God is come, the Son of God is come, the Son of God is come, or the Lord is come, the Lord is come, the Lord is come. But do you have clear understanding so you can see that the day of the Lord, to know it, or to know the day of the vengeance of our God, as things that the day has. So he's saying in that Thessalonians that concerning times and season, I do not learn to write to you, for you yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh. So it shows that in the day of the Lord are times and seasons. Just as in the years of the Lord, there are also times and seasons. So time and season in the year of the Lord are months, weeks. But when it's a day, there's no a week in a day. It's a day of the Lord. So in the day of the Lord, or the day of the vengeance of our God, go to Isaiah 51. There are times and seasons in the day of the Lord. And you will be wise for you to be able to understand that if there are time and season, according to the book of Ecclesiastes, that to everything there's a season and there's a time. And to every purpose under the heaven, a time. So if there are times and seasons in the day of the Lord, it shows there are things and there are purposes within the day of the Lord. In the day of the Lord, one of the purposes in the day of the Lord, you'll find that in the book of 1 John 3. For this reason, the Son of God is man that he might destroy of the works of the devil. That one thing, one of the seasons, the time that you are going to experience is going to come into that time. So, for everything, there is a season. It is a season and a time to every purpose. So, it shows that in the day of the Lord, there are things that the Lord wants to give. And there are purposes of God or of the Lord that want to achieve. So, when you see the day of the Lord, we have established that what made up the day of the Lord, according to 1 Thessalonians 5, is that times and seasons. So in the day of the Lord, it's not just one time that is there. And it's not just one season. There are seasons and there are times in the day of the Lord. And you must know that if there's a time, like Jesus was teaching to his disciple and the Pharisee, he said, for you know how to read the weather, the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. In Matthew 16:1-3, the Pharisee and also with the Sadducees came, tempting design that he will show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, your sky is red and lowering. Oh, you hypocrite, for you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. So, if there are times and seasons in the day of the Lord, so we must be able to discern, understand. What is discern? To perceive. What is to discern? To judge. To discern is to perceive. To discern is to what again? Judge. To discern is to understand. So it's not just say, so this Thessalonian church, they are not like us. So you cannot be living in the day of the Son of God, and you cannot discern the times and discern the signs, because the signs are connected to the thing and connected to purposes that are in those days. So every of those other signs you must have. So we can see clearly Isaiah 61 from verse 2. So the day of the vengeance of our God. So that means these are the things that the days of the vengeance of our God or the day of the Lord will be characterized, the day of the Lord. So the first thing that will characterize the day of the Lord or the day is to comfort all that mourn. There's a season of comforting or a time of comforting. In that day, they will start with comforting all them that mourn. Two, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion an appearance of the Lord. To comfort all them that mourn and to appoint. So how did they comfort? When they are comforting all them that mourn in Zion, they said they will appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. They will give unto them beauty for ashes. They will give them the oil of joy for mourning. Look at what they are, the provision for them that are mourning. Just to address the state of mourning. So they are going to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. So that means them that are mourning had an appointment to keep. They don't give appointment to a soul that is not mourning. You won't get apartment. Just like in abroad, you know, in abroad, you have to book an appointment before you can see a doctor. It's only emergency that is open. You don't have wound in your hand, leg and carry to emergency. They will not attend to you. In all government hospitals, they will attend to you. If you will need anything, you must be by appointment. So if you can't take appointment, you have to go to your private practice. Doctors have their private practice. You pay out of pocket if you can't wait. And for them to give appointment, you have appointment. Not even medical alone. So in the day of the Lord, in the day of the vengeance of God, criteria that you are going to have an appointment is that you are a mourner. Or I must be mourning. So the first thing, there's a time to mourn so that you can receive comfort. Because the answer is to comfort all them that mourn. And how did they comfort them? The first comfort is to appoint them. To appoint. You know that God appointed Jesus. Hebrews chapter 1, 3. And in those days, spoke to us by his son whom he had appointed. Not only Jesus did they appoint, Job also spoke about this, that all the day we wait until he's appointed. We wait for a change. In Job 14, 14. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time. Can you see? So he showed that there is days, but it's an appointed time. All the days of my appointed time. Will I wait till my change come? So those who are mourning, they are mourning for God to give them appointments. Yes. So your mourning is a state of waiting. In fact, when you are not mourning, you are not yet blessed. Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are they that mourn. This is Isaiah 60. This is Matthew 5, 4. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Accept the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort everyone that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. The day of the Lord, that everybody are in Zion. You can't mourn if you're not in Zion. There must be a Zion stone. Who is a Zion stone? A man that is godly. Or a godly soul that have finished the acceptable year of the Lord. Another word for a man is mourning. Is a man in whose soul is altar of golden. Altar is rising to God. A man whose soul is already golden altar. Because it is on that golden altar that they will appoint you the Son of the living God to come there. But that altar must be, the morning is the incense. Incense that they want to receive is that something is coming from the altar that will call for the Son of God to visit your altar. So there are things you must do to induce morning on your inside. So the day of the Lord, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, is to appoint them the ministry of the Son in the latter times. To appoint unto them. So they to appoint unto them the ministry of the Son of the living God. Because the Son of the living God must come out of the most holy place to come and keep appointment that he has with every golden altar soul. Who over the times and seasons of the acceptable year has walked by faith to faith and has arrived. So, you know, our souls are altars. Your soul will be an altar that can keep appointments. So, if your soul is not year money, you must do everything tomorrow. One thing you must do as we enter to the new year is to engage activity that will bring money to your soul. And no soul can mourn if he has still hope in this present world. If his hope is still in this present world. There are things that preoccupy our soul. Why our soul cannot mourn? Where we still have fulfillment in the earth and the natural things. We have fulfillment in things that are passing away. Rather than mourning, we'll be envious of the riches of the fools. And we'll be jealous of the ungodly men. You can't mourn if you have not been crucified. I mean, the activity of the cross of Christ. The cross of Christ. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, and not I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. The joker was talking to his disciple. He said, because I tell you I go to the Father, you are sorrowful. And you are mourning. And because I said I will be crucified, you are mourning. What can bring for mourning to you is that you have experienced death in your soul, in the measure. You are dead to sin and death. For there to be mourning in your soul. So mourning to comfort them that mourn. What they use to comfort them that mourn is the gospel. That is the gospel they use to comfort them that mourn. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. To give unto them beauty for ashes. What is beauty? The gospel. How beautiful is the feet of them. What they communicate as comfort is the beauty of the gospel. The gospel. The gospel. The gospel of the Son of God. Which is good tidings of good that publishes salvation. So you can see that what they will give to every soul that is mourning is to come and deliver the revelation of the Son of God. Say, the gospel of the Son of God is the revelation of the Son of God. That is what they use to comfort those that mourn. Because what brought them to the state of mourning is the revelation of Christ. Yes, sir. Is they did Christ until their soul was induced with state of mourning. Christ, we show you how wretched you are. Paul the apostle arrived at Romans chapter 7. And he connected to Romans 8. What brought him to that Romans 7? What brought to Romans 7 was Romans 8. And the only thing, if you have not Romans 8, that Romans 8, 1 and 2, you will not arrive at Romans 7. It was Romans 7 that make him arrive at Romans, what? Romans 8. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of this death? Every time there's a death, people mourn. That's why what causes mourning in men is because of losses. When there's no losses, you can't mourn. So it's losses that make men mourn. Either you lose people or you lose what you lose things that make men mourn. Men don't mourn until their losses. And what will cause you to mourn is that you are losing your what your soul used to glory in, what your soul used to see as his life. You will no longer see it as your life. Then you thought that you had something before. You thought that you are holding something. There's a life that sin has lied to you that's a life. Because sin is beyond what you do or what you commit. Sin is a life you live. Sin says sin is a life that I lived. Says sin is a life that I subscribe into. Says sin is a life that I even glory in. So a man cannot mourn. God, I'm talking about the day of the Lord. There are times and seasons in the day of the Lord. Everybody that arrives at the day of the Lord should be a mourner. I am a mourner. I'm a weeper. You must be a mourner. If the ministry of the Son of God will prosper in your life, it is losses that make men mourn. Either you lose something, either you lose people, or you lose what you lose things that make men mourn. Men don't mourn until their losses. And what will cause you to mourn is that you are losing your soul. What your soul used to glory in, what your soul used to see as his life, you will no longer see it as your life. Then you thought that you had something before. You thought that you are holding something. There's a life that sin has lied to you that's a life. Because sin is beyond what you do or what you commit. Sin is a life you live. Sin says sin is a life that I lived. Says sin is a life that I subscribe into. Says sin is a life that I even glory in. So a man cannot mourn. God, I'm talking about the day of the Lord. Times and seasons in the day of the Lord. Everybody that arrives at the day of the Lord should be a mourner. You must be a mourner. If the ministry of the Son of God will prosper in your life. So you must be a mourner. That day will open up with for mourners. If you are not mourning, you will not receive appointments. And you cannot mourn. It's not a thing you can sack by yourself. You cannot arrange money by yourself. Your money comes as a result of causing losses of life that sin and death has given to you. And you cannot lose the life that sin has taught you to live if you have not obeyed righteousness. And you have not obeyed righteousness unto godliness. You must obey where you are governed. Godliness means you are governed by the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. When the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, because you don't arrive at the law. We start first with the word of Christ. And in the word of Christ, there is the meat and there's the drink. You find that in 1 Corinthians, there's the meat and there's the drink in Christ. So they say, what you call spiritual meat and spiritual drink. It is after you are partaking of spiritual drink that you are entitled to what? The law of the spirit of life. So that's why the meat is faith. The drink is hope. The law of the spirit of life is charity. So it takes the law of the spirit of life, which is the spirit, to begin to prep you as you are living a life of charity for money. You are not just going to start preparing you for money. You must have lived. Because it is a man that is living, doing charity, loving brethren. You will love the brethren until the Father in Galatians 4 will send the spirit of the Son into your heart. So the sending of the spirit of the Son into your heart is what trigger money. You can't mourn without the spirit of the Son in your heart. And the spirit of the Son cannot come into you until you are partaking of the three seasons and three times in Christ. Which is what? You're partaking of what? The spiritual meat, spiritual drink, and law of the spirit. Those three things must be available before they will send the spirit of the Son into your heart. The spirit of the Son will not be sent. God, it takes these three. It takes the spiritual meat and spiritual drink for you to be able to serve Christ and serve your brethren with the law of Christ. Because it's as you are serving, you are doing charity. That all those 1 Corinthians 13. When you are doing charity, you will hope all things. You will believe all things. You endure it all things. You suffer all things. Though, instead of doing those things are preparing you for them to send the spirit of the Son into your heart. Because every man that have done charity is a son, not the son. It's a son, a small son. Say a small son. Give me Galatians 4. So these are sons, but they are little sons. Christ is a son, but he's a son in measure. He's not a son in fullness. It's a son in measure. He's a son. You find that in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. It's a son. That son is a perfect man. A perfect man. So just a son. It's not the perfect, it's a perfect man. So it is such men that God, the Father, will send the spirit of his son into your heart. Crying. So crying is a mourning. Crying is a weeping. That's when your soul will start crying. So your soul cannot begin to cry. You can't cry if you are not a soul that is doing charity. A soul that is feeding on spiritual meat does not cry. A soul that is taking spiritual drink does not cry. A soul that is joined one by the law is a soul that is doing law. Without law, they won't send the spirit of the Son. Because they will send the spirit of the Son to you after you have been redeemed from the law. That Galatians. You have been redeemed from the law. To redeem them that we are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of Son. Because you are Son, God has sent for the spirit of his Son. So before they can send the spirit of his Son, you must have gone through the first level of being redeemed. Say, redeemed that are under the law. Which law? Romans chapter 8, 1 and 2. They redeem you from the law. Romans 8, 1.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free from the law of sin and death.
It is a sword that has been free. All these men are under the law of sin and death. But through the process of what? They gave them spiritual meat. And they gave them, I said, what does that say spiritual meat is? Faith. And what is faith? Righteousness. And they gave them drink. What is drink? Hope of righteousness. And they gave them also what? They gave them the law. And the law, what? They gave them the law, which is the spirit of life. It is when these three things, and so you have obeyed these three things, that they will send for, they will adopt you. And they will send for the spirit of the Son in you to start you with mornings. David rendered this thing in Psalm 84 beautifully. From my soul longeth, 84:2. Yea, even fainteth for the court of the Lord. What is the court of the Lord? The day of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. So when you say, bless in the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort everyone that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. So beauty there is not cream. Beauty there is not sun, what? It's not sunscreen. So it is at this place that it takes the spirit of the Son into your heart to start mourning. So it shows that it is in the day of the Lord. Say, for the day of the Lord, that is what I can say, for the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. So the day of the Lord steal from the night. Say that, church. The day of the Lord take part of the night and use it for himself. You remember? Weeping may endure for the night. Joy comes in the morning. So you can see that the coming of the... So the day of the Lord overlap is like a set. Two set. There's an intersect. So intersect, take part of the side. So what they do in that intersect of the night and the day in that side is that that is the time they will send the spirit of the Son into to induce morning. Your money and your cry of your soul is also your hunger and thirst for righteousness, which mark the beginning of the false blessedness or the beatitude. Without the spirit of the Son in your heart, you can't hunger and thirst for everlasting righteousness. So that's why the first thing you see in beatitude, verse 3 said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for there is the kingdom of heaven. So mourners are those who are desiring to ascend in their soul to heaven. You find that same thing in Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord. And the fullness thereof. You know, I was saying something. I said, you can't mourn if you are glued to earth. Hey. Yes, sir. Every soul that is earthly will never mourn. And it's good for you to mourn so you can depart the earth. Because if you don't mourn, you will still come and mourn later. That's where my teaching of tonight is going to. Yeah. My teaching tonight, I want to teach the third seal. I want to teach third seal, but we have to travel there. I want to do the third seal. And I want to teach the sealing of the living God. That's the emphasis of the God for now. God wants to know every soul to receive the seal of the living God. So that you will not be hurt. And you cannot receive the seal of the living God. So I wanted to teach the seal of the living God and teach you what will make you to receive the seal of the living God. How to serve God acceptably. So you have a long way to go. We are just starting. So you can't sleep. So the earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof. And they that dwell therein, for he has founded it upon the sea and established it upon the flood. Look at it. But who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? Or who shall come into the day of the Lord? The heat of the Lord is the day of the Lord. To ascend into the day of the Lord. Or to come into the day of the Lord. Or to come into the day of the Son of God. When you get to the day of the Son of God, you will start enjoying the times and seasons in the day of the Lord. In the day of the Son of God. Because in the day of the Lord are times and seasons. And I say one of the first times when you enter the day of the Lord is morning. Everybody that arrives in the day of the Lord, because you arrive as a thief in the night. The day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. So the day of the Lord starts like a night. But in that thing, what they want you to do in that time of the night of the day of the Lord is to mourn, is to be weeping, is to be crying for the appearing of the living God. Because the coming of the living God is the coming of the light. The living God is the light of the day. The coming of the living God is the coming of the light. Or the coming of the living God is the coming of good light. So you can see that every soul must leave the head, which transcends to the heel of the Lord, to ascend to the heel of the Lord, who shall stand in his holy place. Either clean hands, pure heart, who have not lit up his soul to vanity, nor swore deceitfully. What does it mean to have a clean heart? Hands. To have a clean hand is to have obeyed faith. Yes, faith will give you clean hands, which is righteousness. 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 You obey faith. What does it mean to have a pure heart? To have a pure heart means you have begin to see hope. And to see hope is to see truth that is in Christ. Yeah. Anything outside truth that is in Christ is a lie. It's not true hope. Anything. Paul said it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He said, if in this world alone we have hope, he said, we are most men miserable. So then every other hope outside the one that's in Christ is mystery. It's mystery. Every hope. I'm not the one that said it. Apostle James said it. He talked to the rich. James 5:1. Go to now, ye rich men. Weep and oh for your what?
For your misery.
It's not writing to sinners, it's writing to Christians. Go to now, ye rich men, weep and oh for your mystery that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupt. Because if you have money, you are rich with money, you are rich with gold, you are rich with certificates, you are rich with children, all those things can be corrupted. That's why it's a mystery. That's why it's a miserable thing. Because anything that can be corrupted is not in Christ. And so you can't say a man has a pure heart so long his hope are still things that can be corrupted. Then God said, no. He said, this heart is not yet pure. Why God tells that you are pure in heart, you have a clean heart, is that you obey righteousness. How God see that your heart is pure is that your hope has changed. You are no longer living, you are no longer having miserable things in your soul as hope. There was a man by the name Abraham. Abraham left Assyria. He said, whenever you bring your tithe, they want to go and give God tithe. He said, when you come, you bring your tithe to offer to God. He said, when you bring, say this also with your tithe. A miserable Assyria is my father. Ready to perish. I was going down. My soul was descending to the pit. Essence of the day of the Lord is to stop perishing.
Hallelujah.
The essence of the ministry of the Son of God is to stop perishing. John 3:15 and 16. Want to go everybody read together? Huh? Can you see? Twice. That whosoever believeth in him. Say in him. Say in him. Not outside. Believe what is inside him. Shall not perish. But you shall have eternal life. That means what you are believing in him is to access everlasting eternal life that is inside of him. but not only eternal life is in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth what? In him. Can we say again? Believe in him shall not perish. So the essence of the manifestation of the Son of God is for you not to perish. And if to be to so that you won't perish, they must change hope that's in you. And it's in Christ they begin to change the hope that's in you. And how do they change the hope that's in you? They purify that hope out of you. They purify that of you. And how do they purify a miserable Assyrian led to perish? Every man is unperishingly. And men, some men, they are driving at 220 kilometers per hour. And those who are driving high speed on perishing, we admire them. We lust after them. Say, my life is too slow. My life is too slow. My life is too slow. Why am I for the past 3 years, I've not got another job. For 5 to 3 years, I'm living this one. But you are crying for miserable things. You see, I'm not saying that. You see, what God wants to do for you is that God wants to pour that thing out of you and not give you money. When you are not have money, that thing will no longer be your hope. Yeah. Anything that is corrupt will not be your hope. James chapter 5. Go to now, ye rich men, weep and all for your mystery that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted. Your garments are moth eating. What is your garment? Your garment is your soul. Your garment is your soul. Your garment is your soul. You find that in the book of Revelation chapter 7. Those who pass through the great tribulation, they said they have a white rope. They have their white rope. And they have palms in their hand. In Revelation 7. And one of the elders came to John and asked him, who are these? John said, sir, I don't know. Then the elder now answered him. He said, these are they. And I said unto him, sir, that knoweth. You know, it's a child that answer quickly in the realm of the spirit. The moment you become a child, you don't answer things. If you have your own vision, you wait on it. Say, sir, I know it. And he said to them, these are they, look at it. These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes. Say, wash their robes. Who the owner of the rope? There. This is their own rope. And what's that rope? Is their soul. Their souls. And made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So, go back to that James chapter 5. So, you see another garment that is moth-eating. Instead of the garment to be washed, the rope, the garment, the rope is moth-eating. And how did moth enter into the eating? Through the riches. He entered through the hope that is in them. So God uses the hope that is in Christ. The hope that is in Christ is truth that's in Jesus Christ. So they use that truth to purge every other hope in this world. And when they begin to do that, they are taking care of your mystery. You see, it's not primarily about money, having or not having. It's not primarily about certificates, not having or having certificates. It's not about what you are or what you don't have. The first thing, you may not have money in your pocket, but you have it in your soul. So you may not have a car that you are riding, but you have hundreds of them inside your soul. In fact, you are changing the car. So when money comes, you have understanding that you lean to. You have understanding available already. You will not fulfill Proverbs. Trust with the Lord with all your heart. And lean not onto your own understanding. Because there are understanding available with you already. It's just waiting for empowerment to fulfill those understanding. So that's why God does not judge you by not having cars or by not having certificate. God judge you. Man, look at the appearance. God, look at the inward. That was the war of God to Prophet Samuel. When he saw the hefty people that have big chest. Behold the chosen of the Lord. Say, God, shut up. Holy. You are looking at the broad shoulder. You are looking at a man that can fight. Me, I know they look like that. I look at the heart. and I find David a man after my heart, what will do all my way? So the labor to make a soul pure heart is to begin to have hope. So you change the hope. Change the hope. When you change the hope, you instead of hope, you put in that man hope of truth. Hallelujah. Anything that is truth is what now made that man's hope. It's not using lies that are mystery as hope. So, and that you be. So, how do they remove miserable hope in our? They showed us the true hope. And Colossians 1:26, Christ in you is the hope for glory. So, when you have that hope inside of you, you are ready. So, hope is water. So, that's what I said. So, hope is a washing. Hope is the washing of the water by the word. Sanctify them by truth. Your word is truth. So, they sanctify the soul of vain hopes. So that next time, when money enters your hand, you don't lean on your understanding. Rather, you acknowledge him. Lord, this money came into my hand. Before you talk about, I want to buy my land in Mowi. Because house is already expensive inside Lagos. I need to go and buy, I have for 5 million, and let me go and buy land in Mowi. So before you think of Mowi, you leave. That is, you understand. Because that money came, there have been understanding, there are transactions that have been there. And that is the way, look at everybody, that is the way of every man that is perishing. That thing, understanding that is in you that is perishing, is what Psalm rendered this way. Psalm says, a man without understanding. Understanding what? Not just understanding of anything. Not his own understanding, but understanding of the Holy. Who is the Holy One? Christ. Christ is the Holy One of God. Hallelujah. Men that can stand in this holy place is men that can stand in Christ. But what gives you ground to stand is your hope. Hope is an anchor. Hope is the anchor for your soul. Stand for your soul. And there's no way they want to take that hope away by giving you another hope. So they say, oh, a man without understanding. What? Not a man without his own understanding, because all of us, we have our own understanding. But a man without the understanding of the Holy One is like the beast that perish. So when I have mysteries, which are my hopes, hope of this world. That's why I say, if in this world we have hope, we have mystery. But miserables. Most. Not small. Most. So Christ in me is the hope. So when Christ is hope in me, what's hope? That they are beginning to change my hope. Then, which touch me, so I have understanding of another. So when they say, I have Christ in me, I have formation of Christ in me. I have an understanding that inform my thoughts. I have understanding that inform the way I see. I have understanding in me that determine how I evaluating. I have understanding that dictate my value. What do I have value for? And they will cut it across everything. They will cut it across your choice in marriage. They cut it across the choice of the kind of school you want your children. It's not bad to go to a school that are paying 15 million or 30 million, but it's not about the money. It is about, do you think that what made up a man is the amount of school that he goes to? That you send someone to a child to primary school or you send to abroad. If you feel that except a child go to abroad, his life cannot be made. Or you feel that until you jack back to abroad, you can never make it. Where did that understanding came from? That understanding is mystery. It's not just understanding. That understanding informs a kind of hope, because hope is a future. Jeremiah 29:29 is the expectation. It's an end you are working towards. An end that you are. An end that you know when I realize it, I will have peace. Because I know the thought I have for you. The thought of good and not of evil. To give you a future or a hope and a future, or to give you to give you peace. For I know the plans and thought I have for you, said the Lord. Plans for peace and well-being and not of disaster, to give you a future and a hope. A hope is Christ. Because there's a better hope. there's hope that is sure and steadfast. So, treating you of your hope is taking care. Blessed are the pure in heart. So, it is the pure in heart. Now, Jesus, I say you need the what? The word, which is spiritual meat. And what? And the drink, which is hope. For you to be able to receive the law. With the law. So, the time of the law is what 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 was saying. So, they won't give the law. See, you have purified your soul in obeying the truth. What is the truth that you purify? It's hope. You purify your soul in obeying the truth. Give me 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. How hope purify it. So, hope is a tool of purification. So, it is them that are purified and swear. See, you purify your soul in obeying the truth. And so, when you have purified yourself, they will give you something else. Right, bro, they will give you the law of Christ. The law of Jesus. And that law of Christ is called charity. So, all you can say, it will take both the faith and the hope to make a new heart. But a new heart is not in all to make a pure heart. A new heart is a pure heart. But to run the pure heart, you need to put the law, which is a new spirit. So it's see, you purify your soul in obeying the truth. So the truth there is hope. So you do righteousness of faith. You do hope of truth. They render it somewhere. For the hope which is there for you in heaven, wherefore you are before in the word of truth of the gospel. So it's the truth of God that put the hope of Christ inside of you. What does that hope do? The hope will purify your heart. We purify your heart until your heart becomes pure. It is when you are pure in heart that they will give you the new, they will give you the law or spirit. See, you purify your soul in obeying the truth unto unfeigned love. That one, unfeigned love, is sincere love. Unfeigned love is sincere love of the brethren. So when you are doing sincere love, you are doing what? You are doing the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So a man that is doing the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, they want to prove something. Why do you purify? Why do you love this? They want to be sure that the hope that they say they are purified, there's no any still thing. That you are still not having hope in money. You are not having hope in pastoring. You are not having hope in Yankee. You are not having hope in Iloba. You are not having hope in any other thing. But your hope is Christ. Your hope is truth. Which is Christ. Christ is truth. The Son of God is the truth. So Christ is truth. The Son of God is the truth. That what made up your hope? What made up your expectation? What made up your future? The future that you are looking for, the future you have understanding of is Christ. And what is Christ? Colossians 3. If Colossians 3 from verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things that are above. Because if you are not here, you can't see things that are above. Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? The hill of the Lord is those things that are above. You can't see them. It is those who have clean hand, who have pure heart. Then the next thing, who have not lifted up their soul to vanity. So he is mystery hopes. Nor swore. Do you know essence why they design charity? Charity is to perfect. Charity is the perfecting of purified heart. Though they are purified, miserable state for the heart. But let us perfect it. Let us make sure that something will not come and deceive and say, this are back to his former hopes. So let him exercise that purified heart by loving brethren. And when you're loving the brethren, they will make sure they surround you with the brethren that has a lot of problem. Or they will surround you with brethren that you have to be helping them. You will help them with your money. You will help them with your resources. You will help them with your patience. Say, help them with your patience. You help them with your long suffering. You have to suffer along with them. You help them with your endurance. You help them with what? You help them with all the things that they describe in charity. You help them with your kindness. When you are doing that, they are trying to perfect. Because charity is the bond of perfectness. To perfect hope that they have taken away, they are purified. So that you will not easily recoil back to those hopes back. So when you are like that, when charity, and you will do charity very well, then you will ascend to the hill of the Lord. Or you are sent to the day of the Lord. Then there they will send you the spirit of the Son into your heart. For you to begin to mourn. So any man that has the spirit of the Son in him is a blessed man. Everyone see that as a blessed man. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are those who are that mourn. Psalm 34, verse 4. He that have clean hands, has a clean hands by righteousness of faith. Yeah. That has a pure heart, which is by truth. Eh? And have not lifted up his soul to vanity. That is, they are sure that by the time you are loving the brethren, they will show if your soul have value for vanity. Because do you value your brethren than your comfort? Nobody that value his space more than brethren. We ever more. Because you are in comfort. It is them that are in discomfort that they will come to comfort. It's the men that are in discomfort. And one of the things that charity will make you do is that it will put some discomfort around you. Because you are enduring your brother. You are suffering along with your brother. You are patient with your wife. You are kind to your child. You are kind to your children that are misbehaving. You are kind to your boss. You are kind to your colleague at work as a Christian, but that is misbehaving. You are a senior person in the office, but there's somebody that is not even doing well so much, but you cover, because charity covers it. It's a man that has three children, and you are his boss. He's told to give him letter or sack. But when you consider if you have sack, what will be his line? You try to do some training. And while you are training him to pick up, you are enduring him. You are covering him. So when your soul is like that, they say you will be bound. Then they will send the spirit. By the time they have done those things, they have redeemed you from the heads. Or they are redeemed. You should go into the day of the Lord. Then they will send the spirit of the Son to you to begin to mourn. So it is those who are mourning that they will give appointment with. So the appointment of mourners. So when you are mourning, when you are like that, look at what they wrote. That Psalm 24. Look at it. Say, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord. The blessing from the Lord. So the blessing from the Lord to every soul that is mourning in Zion is the spirit of the Son into your heart. So the blessing they give to every soul that is mourning is what? The blessing that they give to every soul that have done charity is what? Is the spirit of the Son where you can start crying. Look at what you do. You shall receive the blessing from the Lord. But not only blessed for the Lord, and righteous for the God of his salvation. Then the calculus thing. This is the generation of them that seek him. Say, seek him. So while they are mourning, their money is for seeking him. Their money is for looking for him. So seek him. Seek him. So without money, you can't seek. So and without blessing you can't seek. So they must bless you with the spirit of the Son, where you can begin to cry, while you start mourning for appoint you. They can appoint all to everyone that mourn in Zion. They will appoint to them that mourn in Zion to give unto them beauty for ashes. Beauty for ashes is the first thing you take. So you have received the first blessing. The first blessing you receive in the day of the Lord is the Spirit of the Son. Then after the Spirit of the Son, which causes you to stand mourning, the Spirit of the Son is the blessing from the Lord. The Spirit of the Son is a blessing from the Lord. Because he said that, say, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into their hearts. It's God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son. To bring to cry, to bring to mourn. So the God that sent the Spirit of the Son to cause you to mourn is also that same God that will appoint you the beauty for your ashes. So the first blessing is the Spirit of his Son. So the second blessing is beauty. 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 Beauty is only for those who are mourning. You know, when you are mourning, you will put on ash. So the Spirit of the Son will teach you how to wear ash. You will be mourning and wear ash. Oh my God. To wear ash. You must be mourning with ash. To comfort all them that mourn in Zion. To appoint unto them beauty for ash. It's only the Spirit of the Son will teach them how to find ash. What is ash? Ash they are wearing is to tell them, I am not lifting my soul to vanity. My soul is not lifted to vanity. I don't see what the earth has to offer as a clothing for me. I don't see what this world promises as a glory. I can have 5 cars. I can work in a top blue chip company that I'm collecting 9 digits. 9 digits. 200 million per annum. But that is not my hope. Because I brought it to the world. And it's certain I shall take nothing. I brought nothing. I know I'm not going to take it. The only thing I'm going to take is God. You, God, you are my inheritance in the land of the living. So you, because ash, he called it beautiful ashes. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul called the ash, which are your attainment. Paul called that, he called it dung. I count them all dung. Yeah, that I count them all things but done for excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered losses of all things. I suffer losses of all things. Oh, Jesus. You cannot attain excellency knowledge if you are not counted in losses. And you have not counted, not only counted anything, Lord, you counted in dung. If there's anything in this world that still make you drunk, that still make you to stagger, that's why it's still lifted up to vanity. So you must put on ash. Heaven must cause you to put on ash. Or you must wear ash. And when we see that you are wearing them as ash, you are counting them as dung, that they are nothing. Everyone is saying, now this man is ready for things. Things that will not make him perish. Because that's the sense of the mission of the Son of God. The mission of the Son of God is that they should not perish. That the person is ready to receive the things in me. That believeth in me. Believeth in me. Believeth in me. In me. There are things that are in me. Things in me. So I said the first blessing that we receive from the Lord is what? Spirit of the Son. Spirit of the Son, what is the Spirit doing you? Make you mourn, make you cry, make you count everything but dung, make you count the losses of everything. Then, after that, what's the second blessing from the Lord? Beauty for ashes. Beauty. And what? So, the beauty for ashes is the bringing to you beauty. There is the gospel, revelation of the Son, which are beautiful. Revelation of the Son of God. So the first revelation of the Son of God that you are going to encounter, the first blessing of the Son of God is the revelation of the Son of the living God. You remember in the Matthew? Who do you say the Son of Man is? Then Jesus came on, that's Matthew 16. came onto the coast of Caesarea and Philippi. He asked his disciples, saying, "Who do you say that I, the Son of Man, I am?" And he said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist. Some say Elias. Some Jeremiah. And one of the prophets." He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." So you're supposed to move from Christ. "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." So Christ, the Son of the living God. So every soul that they are blessed with little money, the Christ, the Son of the living God, we bring beauty. And I say beauty is the gospel. Is the gospel, is the good gospel that publishes good. Is it how beautiful the feet of them that carry what good tidings of good that publishes what? Peace, and also that promises salvation. So the beauty there is salvation. Those who mourn, they want salvation. And what is salvation for? Salvation is to stop them from perishing. Salvation is to stop you from, or to save you from perishing. 1 Peter, from verse, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, as long as it was unknown that any should perish, but all that all should come to repentance, but you render it beautiful way. For I count that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved Paul, also according to the wisdom God gave unto him, written unto you." So you can see that you must mourn. A big amen. So when you are mourning, they give you beauty. So in the program of beauty, the beauty are works of the Lord. What the beauty carry are works of the Lord. Psalm 90, 15, 17. Another name for to give them beauty is to give them the glad tidings of good. The glad tidings of good. They enter somewhere in that book of Isaiah. The glad tidings. Romans. Of good things. Can you see? So you can see that the glad tidings are not just one thing. Glad tidings. Things. And how shall they preach except they say, as it is written, "How bitter are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, comma." So the gospel of peace is Christ. But they will not bring the beauty or bring the glad tidings if you are not a mourner. So you must have listened to a son that's making to mourn or cry. Then they will bring God beauty. And that, we are trying to open what is beauty. So when you say beauty, how beautiful is the feet of them that preach what? The gospel of peace. That bring glad tidings of good things. Good things. So you can see the first glad tidings. Look at the first glad tidings. Psalm 90. "Make us glad according to the day when they are afflicted us." Look at this. So you see that before we see glad, we were afflicted. So there's a seed that, so in the day of the Lord, every soul must go through a time and a season of being afflicted. And that season of afflicted is what? Is a time that what? You are doing charity. You are loving your brother, enduring them. Affliction is not sickness. If you are sick, you should be prayed for to be healed. That God does not give afflicted with sicknesses. God is not afflicted when you don't have food to eat. You don't have food to eat. No. The affliction God wants you to bear is to bring the affliction of God's people. Enduring them. Bearing long suffering with them. That's affliction. That's the affliction. It's not that I'm sick. No. If you are sick, we should pray for you and receive your deliverance. Except some affliction that evil spirit brings. Evil spirit is behind it. And God allow it. And oftentimes, it makes you repent because of sin. Sin there does not, it's not because, it may not be sin that you are committing. It may be a position, attitude that you have in you. That's a sin. What's sin? It's an offense. For that an offense to me. Things that make you to offend in the spirit. Things that cause you to offend. For that an offense to me. And sometimes God allows something to buffet you, to afflict you very well. Until those things that cause you offense, that they want to keep offending God. So that God will never be pleased with you. And there's no way God cannot coerce you. So God allow enemy of God. God in his wisdom, enemy want to pray, God will allow it. And God will allow. Enduring that affliction, you become humble, you become broken, you become contrite. And God will come and to bring forth succor for you to see that and address it. Then when you have addressed it, which said this, God will heal you of it, and God will avenge of that affliction. A big amen. So the days, look at it. Make us glad. Come, say the days. It's not the years. So they are in the day of the Lord. But this day is a time of their mourning. No, he says someone in one of the book of Isaiah 60. This verse 61. For the day of your mourning shall be over. In that 60. Isaiah 60, 20. Thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw himself. For the Lord shall be thy everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. So, the day of this your mourning is a time that the Lord is your light. Arise, shine. For thy light, what? Is come. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 1. 66:1. Eh? Arise, shine, what? Thy light. Say, thy light is come. Eh? Come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Verse 2, for behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall rise upon thee, his glory shall be seen upon thee. So, in that season, there's the light, the Lord risen upon thee. That light is come. So, they bring to you, after your mourning, with the spirit of the sun does in you, they bring it to you of beauty. Then you open up beauty. So the first thing when they want to bring you beauty is that they will bring you what? The glad tidings. And the glad tidings make us glad according to the days where they have prepared and the year when we have seen. Let thy work appear unto thy servant and let the beauty of our God be upon us. So what is the beauty that they give? To give beauty to them and more is the revelation of the Son of God. And the revelation of the Son of God is the ministry, is the begin. When they reveal the Son of God to you, they are begin to open to the ministry of the Son of God. And the ministry of the Son of God is to reveal his light to you. So the revelation of the Son of God is bringing, is coming of light. Say light. It's light. Light. And light is for two things. Light is for work. W-A-L-K. Walking the light. And light is for works. So beauty is for work. Say work. Because first thing, how beautiful is the feet of them? So, if they show you beauty, the first beauty is for work. And the second beauty is to wear it. So, you walk with feet, which is W-A-L-K. Walks is a wearing. You wear lights. You walk in the beauty of the lights, W-A-L-K, and you wear what? Beauty lights. So, these is the tomb revelation of Jesus. The first revelation is walk. W-A-L-K. Walking in the light. Second one is that if you don't walk in the light, you cannot walk. Walks. You can't have walks. Walks of light. So when you see Book of Revelation chapter 1. When they came to all the churches, the first thing, after they said the revelation of Jehovah Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto Revelation chapter 1, this is 2. The revelation of Jehovah Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servant, this which must come to pass, he sent, and signify it by his angel. So there is what is sent to his angel to show to John. But beyond church to John, only thing, there is also what that angel went to do in the midst of the churches. What that angel that brought revelation of Jesus to John, a big amen. Yeah. He sent it and signified it by his angel to his servant John. But that angel did not only minister to John. That said angel went to minister in chapter 2. He went to minister, his angel also went to minister also to the candlestick, which are churches. He ministered to John in chapter 1. In chapter 2, he ministered to the churches. So, and when he was ministering to the churches, he was ministering to two kinds of people in the church. He was ministering to the candlesticks, and he was ministering to stars in his hand. Yes, sir. So, when he was ministering to the churches, he was ministering to the churches, the work, W-A-L-K, and works. Revelation 1. I, John, also am your brothers and companion in tribulation. I in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ was in the eye that is called both for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the spirit on the last day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am a fan of Omega, the first and the last. What does see? Write in a book and send it to seven churches, which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, unto Laodicea. I turn to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his foot. Clothed with a garment down to his foot. And God bow with paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like snow. As snow, his eyes were as a flame of fire. His feet like fine brass, as if they burn in a furnace. And his voice as the voice of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp edged sword. His countenance was as the sun shine, as the sun shined in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and death. Like the things which that are seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars, which are thy say in thy hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angel of the churches. And the seven candlesticks, which thou saw it, are the seven churches. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus. So you saw in the midst of the church, one like the Son of Man. But that one wasn't the Son of Man. Because he said, that angel was talking about, he said, I am Alpha and the Omega. So it's that same angel that they gave the gift of Jesus Christ to. So you also saw him also ministering in the midst of the churches. He ministered to John, servant. He also came to minister to the church. What he brought to John is different from what he brought to the churches. So what he brought to the church, when he was ministering to John, they didn't show his clothing. In Revelation 19, 21, 22, they never show his appearance. It's only in Revelation 1 and Revelation 10, they show his appearance. They show the appearance. Because that appearance, he has a garment clothed down to his foot. They describe his feet because he was carrying message. One of the churches said, I am he that have the seven star walking in the midst of the golden candlestick. Look at it. Unto the church of Ephesus, right? This thing say he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand. Everybody, want to everybody? The first thing, see, who walketh? So the first ministration that he minister to these churches, which are servants, the first thing he ministered to this, because he said, Revelation 1, 1 to 2. Want to go? the revelation of Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servant, this which must surely come to pass, eh? He sent, asking by what? By his angel, unto his servant John. Verse 2, who bear record
of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, of God that is love.
Verse 3,
blessed be he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand.
A big amen. So you can see that the first thing is what? The first thing to show unto his servants. And he sent and signified by his angel unto his servant John. So you see that there was like a true commission. Then that angel was carrying, in that revelation, he was carrying something to servants. I was carrying something for the servant John. To one. So there's one servant and there are many servants. So when he came to every other servant, which are the servants, he said, Revelation 2:1, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, right? This thing said he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works. I know thy works. So the first thing, he walk. You know he has a walk. He's walking, but we are also, he also know works. Say, walk and works. I know thy walk and thy labor and thy patience. How thou cannot bear them which are evil, and thou have tried them who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And I bore and I have patience for my name's sake, I labor and I've not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou have left thy first love. A big amen. Remember, therefore, from where thou art fallen, repent and do the first work, or else I will come unto thee quickly. I will remove the work that I can't do. Stick out of his place. Except thou repent. But this thou art, that thou hated the deeds of Nicolaita, which I also ate. He that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying unto his churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is the midst of the paradise of God. So you see that when they were describing that angel, they describe him from the top of his head. His head, his white hair, then his eyes. Say, remember? His eyes. That's when they're moving towards his dressing. They talk about his feet. So how in this season, the revelation, how they're going to come into the servant, they must start servant with work. For I am he that walketh in the midst of the golden candlestick. Then, from walking, he moves into I know your works. So, when they bring beauty to them that mourn in Zion, let thy work appear unto thy servant. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Establish thou the walls of our hand. Yea, the walls of our hand established thou. Look at everybody. Thessalonians 2 from verse 11. So the ministry of the Son of God in the time, you must understand that you have a work to do. Work, you must work. And then you must walk. You must be work and works. And your works, you must do first works. So first works are for servants. So the revelation of Jesus is to come and measure our work. If you can walk worthy of God, say walk worthy of God. First Thessalonians 2. As you know how we exalt, comforted, say comforted. For before comforted, we exhort. What's exhort? We preached. To exhort is to preach. Is to bring the tithing to you. To exhort is to bring word. Are we exhorted? Our exhortation supposed to bring comfort. So when the Son of God came, he came with exhortation. Like all the things he came with the churches were exhortation. Those are, he was exhorting the church. Those speaking to the minister of the seven kingdoms were exhortation. It was exhortation that carried comfort because they were mourning. They were the one mourning for him. They were the one looking when he brought the beauty. But that thing, like beauty, is exhortation that will bring truly to comfort. Say comfort. So, but there's no comfort without exhorting. As you know, I will exhort and comfort and charge every one of you as a father doth his children that you should walk worthy of God. God. This is a God that you must walk worthy of. Not Lord. It's God. In the day of the vengeance of our God, or in the day of the law, or the day of the Son of God. So he's checking the church, their work. Every works, W-O-R-K-S, originate from walking. You'll find that also in Colossians, that you walk worthy of the law unto all, being fruitful in every good works. You will also see it in this Thessalonians 11 to 13. For this cause also we thank God without ceasing that you will walk worthy of God who have called you to his kingdom and glory. So the essence of walking so you can have entrance into the kingdom and glory. Call you unto his kingdom and glory. Revelation 1:9. So John was already in the kingdom. He was in the kingdom. And he was in the patience. Here, they are giving this church, exhorting them and comforting them. In Thessalonians 2, 11 to 13. They are exhorting them and comforting them and charging every one of them, what? As a father does the children, that they will walk worthy of God. So it's so that the calling of the Son of God is to enter the kingdom. Colossians 1 from verse 11. Strengthen with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and love, some with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father who has made us meet to be partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us unto the kingdom of his dear Son. Look at when he says, he had delivered us. It's not everybody in Colossians that had delivered. Paul is talking about himself. So, by this time around, Paul has entered the kingdom of his dear son. And he's writing the church. He's writing to the church to walk worthy of the Lord into all pleasing. Being fruitful in every good work. Then, after a while, they will increase in the knowledge of God. That knowledge of God is the knowledge of the Son of God. So, he was showing them their journey. But Paul was already translated into the kingdom of the dear son. So the essence of the ministry of the Son of God in the midst of seven golden candlesticks is so that the churches came to work so that where they are falling short in their work, they can grow. And revelation that he gave to John, that he gave to Church of Ephesus, what is their work? Their work is love. We call it the first work. Because he told them, say, I will come and remove your candlestick on the stand. Their stand is their work. Where they are standing. They are standing. Your standing is your work. So you remember Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinner, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. This law of the Lord is not law of Christ, though. Yeah. It's not the law of Christ. This is the law of God. Because if you see, Lord, yes, is capital, he is the Son of God. So you see that the journey starts by walking. So when the Son of God comes to appear or comes to you, he will come and check your walk. That's why he is walking in the midst of the golden candlestick. One thing I see this year, that we are, this 2020, that they're going to be checking our walk.
Look at how the language John writes to people. 1 John chapter 1, verse 4. Want to go ahead and read? That your joy might be full. And this is then the message we have heard of him and declare unto you. That God is light. In him is no darkness at all. Verse 6. If we say that we have fellows with him, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Walk. If you say you are fellowshipping with the minister of the Son of God, you will go to be checked by your walk. So you saw these churches, Ephesians, they were golden candlestick. They are light churches. They have light. They are not in darkness. They are light. The message that the Son of God brought to them is a message that God is light. I say that revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ is revealed in your midst, you is to give you light. And what you use light for, first thing you use light for is to walk. Is to walk. Every servant of God are workers. You will not be saying you are serving God if you cannot walk. You must walk to generate works. So heaven will measure you. So when the son, when he comes to the churches, he was checking their work. Because that church have work already. All of them were golden candlestick. And golden candlestick is what raised them to have their work. So he was working, he was checking their work, and eventually moved into checking their works. So he checked some of them. He checked their first work, like Ephesian church. He checked their first work. The Ephesian church does not yet have last work. What Ephesian church has is only first work. Ephesian church doesn't have last work yet. Because in the season of first work, you must do the first work. First work is what the word of God brings to you. There are servants of the word of God. You must walk in the light and as works of the light. Look at that first John. If we say we are fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we walk in the light as is in the light, we have fellowship with one another and the blood of his son. The message is God is light. God the Father. But that message is the son that's revealing it. If we walk in the light as he is in the light. So we saw he that's like a son of man in the light is in the midst of the golden candlestick. So all those churches are all light churches. They are all light churches. They are not just light churches. All of them are light churches. And all of them had work in lights. They are walk in the light. God is light. In him there is no darkness. If we say, I fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we walk in the light as in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ is so. Cleanse us from all sin. See, if we say that we have no sin with this ourselves and the truth is not in us. 9:10, please. If we confess our sins, faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse from unrighteousness. So what is all our unrighteousness? All unrighteousness are works. All unrighteousness are works of darkness. So all unrighteousness are works of darkness. But you will not be purge or cleanse from all unrighteousness if you not walk in the light. You must walk in the light. So when you are walking in the light, that's when you start fellowshipping. God's people, I see the beauty of the Lord, the beauty of the Son of God, the beauty of God appearing to us. And that beauty is not any other thing but the glad tidings of good things. You know, good things are light. That's the blessing of the Father. My beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift from above and coming down from the Father of light, with whom there's no variableness, nor shadow of turning. So the Son of God is here to give us light. And what you use light to do is to walk. And not just to walk. I know we have been having the light of the Son of God. The Son of God has been shining. But one thing I perceive the Son of God will be doing this year will be measuring our work. We have been fellowshipping with the things of the Son of God. And if truly we have been fellowshipping with the things of the Son of God, our fellowship ought to reprove every works of darkness. Ought to reprove every unrighteous works. And we should be putting on works that they can be upon us and that can be established. If we don't walk in the light and carry that walk to be upon us, we wear it. We will not be his brethren. I cannot say, not everybody in this church is here walking in the light of the Son of God. And if we don't have many people that walk in the light, if we don't have many people that can walk in the light, we will not have men that can overcome this war. God, the destiny of every servant of God who walk in the light of the Son of God and have works that abide is that they will overcome this war. Essence of false works is to overcome this war. And when you are doing false work, you need to do the work because they want to bruise Satan shortly under your feet. That will bruise Satan. The God of peace will bruise Satan shortly under your feet. That's the manifestation of servants. Because Satan under your feet is even Satan, the dragon in the air. So there is a work that can bruise Satan. There is a work, feet, that can bruise Satan. How beautiful is the feet of them that carry the glad tidings of good things. God is particular that your feet should bruise Satan. One, if you ask me that, Pastor Thompson, what's the Lord saying? What the Lord wants to achieve in 2026 is that God wants to bruise Satan, the God of peace. The message. This is the message we have heard of him from the beginning. That God is light. In him there's no darkness. If we say we are fellow with him and walk in dark, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as in the light, we are fellow with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses from all our sin. To bruise Satan under your feet is to be cleansed from all sin. You must walk until you bruise Satan. You walk with the God of peace until you bruise Satan under your feet. You walk with the God, we walk with the Son. You walk with the Son of God. The Son of God is measuring work for you. This year is the year of walking. So when you begin to see 1 John, 2 John, you will walk and walk and you will pass from darkness to light. We say we are filled with him and walk in darkness. We lie. And the truth is not in us. You must use truth. The truth is the law of peace that you will use to bruise Satan. From this year, 2026, as a servant of the Lord. You see, this is the heritage of the servant of the Lord. Servant of the Lord, you have an heritage. The heritage of the servant of the Lord is that you bruise Satan. In Revelation 11, they saw the beast that came from bottomless space having been bruised on his head. That thing is people that bruise it. One thing that I know, that every one of you, when you bruise Satan, it's not that you have overcome Satan. You have only bruised him. Satan will go and manufacture another thing called the death of Satan. The death of Satan is different from bruising Satan. Satan is in level. Satan that is under your feet that you bruise is different from Satan that is coming from the bottomless pit. The bottomless pit is higher than the one on the surface that you bruise. Then Satan in the air is higher than Satan that is the bottomless pit. Satan, on the surface of it, they call it dragon and adder. Psalm 90. That you will not be able to bruise Satan under your feet if you are not a worker of love. You must do the first work until abiding. Then you will bruise Satan under your feet. God wants Satan to be under our feet. That first layer. He wrote to that church that the message that God is light, when you walk in that message and you are passing from darkness to light, he said, shortly, God will cause you to bruise him underneath your feet. So when that angel came into the churches, he was checking their feet. He was measuring their work. That's why he walked in the midst of the garden. Because he said, have these churches, have they had enough work that Satan has been bruised under their feet? Your work is important this year, God's people. The Son of God will be checking your work. He'll be checking your work again and again and again. Heaven is interested in your feet. Everybody, you will use your feet to walk out of darkness. And you will enter into light. And what is your work? Because you have loved the brethren. That's in 1 John 2. We are passed from darkness to light. God, this is the message. That God is light. And in him there's no darkness. He will say we have fellowship with him. And walk in darkness with lie. And do not the truth. But if you walk in the light, as is in the light. So there's a place that is. We saw that sun in the midst of the garden. It's in the light. Come and walk with him. Come and walk with him in the light. If we walk in the light, as is in the light, we have fellowship. As we are walking, you are having fellowship. We walk in the light. But as we are not just walking, as we are walking, you will walk and walk. Every walk is departure from darkness. His walk is departure from darkness. And as you are walking, you walk and walk and exit out of darkness into light. Amen. It is until you leave darkness into light that it is every man that I walk out of darkness into light by loving the brethren, which is the old commandments. You use your commandment to walk into the brethren. Why? Because that is how you are going to bruise Satan. Because Satan walked away from his brethren. He walked away from his brothers. So how you are going to show that you are bruised? Satan is you loving the brethren. So loving the brethren is how you show that you are walking in the light. A new commandment I write unto you, which is true in him and in you, because darkness is past. Can you say that? He that says in the light.
He that says in the light.
Like 1 John 1. This is the message we have heard from the beginning, that God is light and in there is no darkness. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and the truth is not in us. But if we walk in the light, as it's in the light. So can you see this, John? He that said is in the light. So if you say in the light, that you are as he is in the light. So you know what I mean? To be in the light means you are in love with your brothers. This is the thing that the church of Ephesus in Book of Revelation chapter 2 we are departing from. They first forsake their first love. Say first love.
First love.
And first work. What was the first love? Loving their brethren. And that's why he told them, if you're not careful, you are a candlestick now. If you withdraw back, you are withdrawing back from darkness you walk away from. And if you walk away from your darkness, I will come and remove your candlestick. Because you are no longer light. You are not in darkness. Because you are not loving your brothers. You must love your brothers. Because brotherly love. Satan does not love his brothers. Satan was one with Gabriel. Satan was one with what? With what? With what? With Michael. He hated his brothers. And he walked into darkness. All, not only him, all the cherub, all the seraphs, all their brother, they walk, all their brethren, they will leave them and they walk into darkness. James, you say, and they put them, they left their habitation. What's the habitation? Lights. What's the habitation? Love. They left their habitation and enter into chain of darkness reserved for them. God is going to be checking your love walk. Your walk is your love for your brothers. Your fellowship is your love for your brothers. If you say we fellowship in light, simply mean we fellowship in love. That's the comfort that every day is mourning. You have endured your brother. You have suffered long with your brethren. And when you are done, you are mourning. But now they will give you beauty for ashes. Oil of joy for mourning. And the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You need oil yellow. What did five virgins lack? They don't have oil. If you don't have oil, they will hurt you. The two people they won't hurt are those who have oil and those who have wine. And for you to have oil and wine, you must have received measure of wheat and barley, which is word of God, bread, which is what made up servants. Weigh your wheat. They must weigh your barley. They must put K. Your wheat is for bread. That strengthens you. Say unto them, your God will come. Strengthen unto them that are weak. You must have strength as a servant of God. Servant, you can do love for the brethren. Satan will come against you with everything to hate your brothers. Husband and wife. Satan will do everything to you to hate your husband, to hate your wife. Whenever you feel like hating, know that it's not you. Know that it's Satan that's attacking you. Satan don't want you to bruise his head. The call for us, 2026, is to walk in the light of the Son of God. And the light of the Son of God is to love our brothers. Every suggestion of Satan to cause you to say you should be in darkness instead of you to be in the light, where he is in the light. It's a people that are in the light, that are walking in the light, that we have works of light. They are the one that their works will appear. Say the work will appear. You see, you must keep walking in the light until your works will appear. You will walk in the light, and your walk, your first walk will appear. And your first walk is your brother, is the love for your brother. He that says in the light and hates his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. What's the light? Word. The word has light. The law has light. The testimony has light. The word has light. The law is light. Testimony is light. Your word is the light unto my feet and a light lamp on my feet. Also send you Isaiah chapter 8. For if the law and the testimony do not say according to this wall, it's because there's no light in them. So the word has light. The law and testimony also has light. But you cannot walk in the light of the law. Neither walk in the light of the testimony. You must walk when the Son of God is ministering. He will first of all minister the word to you. And the word will minister light for you to fellowship. And your fellowship is by walking the light. And when you are walking the light, you must translate light until your works appear. If when the Son of God is walking in the midst of the church, your work is not appearing. They say you have not done the first love very well. And heaven will frown if you are not doing your first love very well, or you are doing shake like Ephesian church. They will come and remove you from the light. That you are occupying space. You should keep loving your brothers until your work works, your first works will appear. So when you are doing the first work, when you are doing love, they make mention of that thing in that Ephesians chapter 1. They say that first work, you will say labor. Nobody can walk in love with his brother if he's not ready to labor. That labor is exactly what Paul also said to Hebrew church in verse 6. I know thy works. Say thy works. And thy labor. And thy patience. And how? Say thy patience. So when you are walking in light, you are walking towards your brother in love, you need to labor. It's labor. You must have mentality that you are laboring. If your brothers will not overwhelm you, it's because you know that I'm laboring for something. I want the work to appear. My working, the love, must appear as a work. Because the Son of Man or the Son of God is measuring your work. W-A-N-K. And we measure, and your work must be commensurate to your works. Your work must be commensurate to your works. He's measuring it. And what did you measure? It's yourself that you need to measure it. It's not anybody. What does the Son of God use to measure? It's himself. Jesus will measure your work with him. As is in the light. It's not as your brother is in the light. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, so he's there with you. Come on. You see, the work is the way I'm walking. It's himself that is the measurement. He will measure your work with himself. Because he knows that fools are there that measure themselves to one another and compare themselves to their fools. For we dare not make ourselves of number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measure themselves by themselves and commit themselves among themselves are not wise. So you'll be a fool. You will not be wise. In the day of the times of the Son of God, if you are measuring yourself, your wife is after a small argument, she's cold towards you. And you choose, try to say, she's not talking, they're not playing. So that is everything. You say everything. So you are a fool. You are not wise. You are a fool. You are not wise. You're supposed to poke and poke and poke and poke. You keep poking and poking. Because why? Because you know, me, I'm walking the light already. I'm walking the light. No. You are not walking the light. Whosoever sees brother as need and shorten the bowl of mercy. When you see your wife, because there's argument and eventually she's cold, I say, how is she doing? I say, I'm fine. Are you sure? So that, okay. Okay, if you say so. No. She has need. When you say like that, she has need of life. What's making her to be like that? She doesn't have enough life. She's become moody. She doesn't have life. Then you should not shut your bowl of mercy. You should use that to walk in light. Satan walk in light is to pray for her and look into to help her come out of that thing. That's how you will pass from death to life. But not only you also have part to pass from death to life. For if you see a brother sin a sin, not unto death, I say pray for him, your brother. So this is the time for you to be to do those commandments. First John commandment, if you see a brother sin a sin, not unto death, pray for him. For all unrighteousness, say all unrighteousness, is sin. So what's that unrighteousness in that First John chapter 1? You see that unrighteousness in that First John chapter 1. If we walk in the light, as in the light, we are filled with one another, and the blood of the Christ is sung, Christ from all our sin. But if we say we have no sin, we say ourselves, and the truth is not in us, if we confess our sins, faith and just to cleanse off and to cleanse all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. For us, all unrighteousness is sin. Your brothers, your sisters, twin tantrum. Don't just say, nothing concern me. When you do that, you are shutting your bowl of mercy. You have not shown compassion. God has given you occasion for you to walk in your walk now. God, it's not only when your brother does something to you, you see a brother in need. The need is not only money, the need can be it discouraged. The need can be that it's walking disorderly. It's a need. is in a need, then you should supply. When you supply, you will walk worthy of the Lord. You will walk worthy of God. And then when you're walking worthy of the Lord, you will walk. You walk and come out of darkness to light. To hate is not that I hate you. When you see a brother in need and you don't look into the matter, everyone counts it as a hating. It's not to hate there, it's not that I hate you. You see a brother that's walking disorderly, and you don't help him to come out of disorderly. God see your soul as hater of him. Because you are allowing the devil to have a free way in that area. You see, this is how we are going to walk and bruise Satan. Shortly. This is what they want to achieve to every servant of God. To bruise Satan. They want to bruise Satan on our feet this year. They want you to add your own wound to Satan's head. You register your feet under Satan's wing. Because it is one of the promises, they promise the seed of the woman that you will bruise the head of the serpent. It's a promise. You see, that thing, when the Son of Man is mentioning you, they will say, in his walk with God, as he registered a memorial on the head of Satan. And how you register your head, just like when you pass through a school, they have a war that every set does. What they call that war? Everybody, you do things. So likewise, Satan has wound already. They want you to put your wound so that when they are counting the wound, they say, has also registered a wound here. And you need many people to register a wound. The head of Satan is his wives or the devil. His wife. The more people stamp their feet, the more the wife become weak. That you will not be able to play deception and seduction on men anymore. That's why we must arise enough fellow servants from the church. Men that have their feet registered on the wall, bruise on the Satan. It is when you are bruised Satan, that they will allow you to come and carry testimonial. Because the warfare is another warfare. The warfare of the word of God is to bruise Satan. To bruise Satan. And what's to bruise Satan? To bruise his wisdom. To bruise this war. Because this war came from Satan. It's his wisdom, it's his head that produced it. The Lord will strengthen our work this year. Amen. I said, the Lord will strengthen our work. Amen. We will serve God acceptably. Amen. If you don't serve God acceptably, you won't receive the kingdom. You won't receive. What's the kingdom? They will not receive into most holy. You see, between the golden altar and entering the veil, it's a distance. That's distance of your walk. That's your walk. That's distance of your walk. You will walk until you enter most holy place, and you keep walking until you will pass from darkness to light. Second Peter places it this way. We have not fully counted very faithful, but we mean unto you the power and the coming of the Lord. We are high witness of his majesty. When we receive from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in one way place. And this boy, we came from everywhere. When we are within the holy month, we also have a more sure word of prophecy. Where you will do well to take us unto a light that shine in that places until the day dawn and the day star rises. You will use the word of God to be a servant that bruise Satan. When you finish bruising Satan, when they give you testimony, you become a star. They star upon your heart. Which is the state of all the angels of those churches. All these angels of those churches, we are stars. That means they are bruised Satan under their feet. They bruised Satan under his head. And then they've committed to them what the light of the testimony to teach them how to shine like the stars in the firmament. When you're also there, it's also another level. Then you start using your shining to turn many to righteousness. You see, when you are doing the first work, you can see a brother. Say a brother. It's they just fish you brother. But when you move, become a star, you can turn many brothers. You are a star. A star that knows how to turn. But you don't need to be a star before they will bless you with the seal of the living God. When you bruise Satan under your feet, they will give you seal. People, boy, the seal of the living God. He says, servant, do not hold the head, nor the servant of our God, until we have seen their servant on their forehead. Because why forehead? Because you bruise the head of the serpent. They seal you on your forehead because you are bruised for Satan forehead. Forehead. You bruise Satan's forehead, they seal your own forehead. You bruise his head, then they seal your forehead. You bruise his head by serving God unto acceptable. And you receive the seal of the living God. You show that you're already a young man. I write to young men because you are strong and the word of God abided unto you. I've written unto you, young men, because you are strong, the word of God abided in you and you have overcome the wicked one. This year, many of you will overcome the wicked one.
Amen.
I say you overcome the wicked one.
Amen.
You overcome the wicked one.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. I'm praying for you this year that everything that Satan has been using against you, you will be riding above them all. You know, the head of Satan is his wide. They say serpent was more soft to than every other beast in the field. So Satan is a soft to beast. Soft to. Soft to than every other beast. The serpent that got to bruise is soft to than every other beast. That's why they charge you. Be gentle as a doe, but be wise as a serpent. When you are learning to walk in the light, light will make you to be little. Be little. But a little one is a thousand. Isaiah chapter 60. A little one is a thousand. But when you are little, that's not the best. A little one is a thousand. A little one shall become a thousand. Then there's a small one, a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time. So this is a program of times and season in God. It's a program of a little one, and it's a program of a small one. The program of a little one. I pray for you that 26 will be catalyzed as a year of generating a worthy work.
Yeah.
Until your works will appear.
Yeah.
It'll be so evident that you are a people that are walking in the truth.
Yeah.
What that word Apostle John was celebrating in 3 John. I'm happy when I see your children walking in truth. What's walking in truth? What's walking in truth? In the light. And what's in light? Okay? They are loving their brothers. And by that time, they are passed from darkness to light because you have loved the brother. You must love brotherhood. Brotherhood of light. The light of the Son God. The light of the... He said, but whosoever... They say something in that book of 1 John 2. But whosoever hates his brother is in darkness even unto now. Then in verse 11. And there's no... And he that loveth his brother, but he that sins now and hates his brother is in darkness even until now. Then verse 14. But he that hates his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth whither he goeth, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. I pray that you will walk in the light. And every form of blindness in your heart will be taken away. Gospel. This year is the year of passing from darkness to light. How do we pass from darkness to light? By loving the brothers. Loving the brothers. It's the year of passing. Passing from darkness to light. By walking and fellowshipping with the Son of God. Walking, fellowshipping. You walk and walk and walk until your works will appear. Cause your work to appear unto your servant. And let your work be established upon your servant. So they show you the beauty appear to you. They show the work will appear to you. There, the beauty and the work will be upon you. That what you are walk inside, you will wear it as a light. You wear love. And when you enter to where there are haters, look at me, everybody. You know, that was one of the blessings of Joseph. It was one of the blessings of Joseph. They spoke about blessing of Joseph, who was hated by his brothers. The blessing of thy father has prevailed above the blessing of thy progenitor. Joseph is a faithful boy, even a faithful boy by a wall, whose branch run over the wall. The archer has sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. Sometimes, some of your brethren will hate you. In the body, they can hate you. He was also rendered, also in Isaiah. He said, for they say, for this has hated me, say, let him appear to his joy, in Isaiah. Your brother hated you and cast you out. They hated you and cast you out. Look at Isaiah 6:5. Hear the word of the Lord is the seed of the word of God. Ye that tremble at his word. When you are a servant of the word of God, look at what God told you. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake. When you read Hebrews 6 also, God will not forget your work and your labor of love, which are shown towards his name. When you read Ephesians, Revelation chapter 1 also, you have labor and show towards my name. Revelation chapter 1, the first church, the first work also is towards his name. Say, let the Lord be glorified, but it shall appear to your jaw, and they shall be ashamed. So Joseph went through to this thing. Look at me. Some of your brothers in the church world, some of your brothers that are your siblings, that they are also Christian, that hates you, your own is too much. Salvation is so, salvation is so, God. They can invite you and cancel your invitation. They are grieve you. They are solely grieve you. But they have hated you. And they are saying, they are your brethren. They are your brethren. Sometimes they will shoot some arrow. They are your brethren. You must not hate them back. Because if you hate your brethren, you are still in darkness until now. The only way, what you will do as a servant of God, as a servant of the word of God, as a man that is trembling with the word of God, is that you need to keep loving and keep walking until you will pass from darkness to light. And you will pass from death to life. Until you have arrived at the true light, you are still in debt. When we say that you are no longer in debt, it's when you have arrived at the true light. And true light is in the most holy. True light is not even the beginning of the most holy. The true light is on the mercy seat. So even when you are passed through the court of the most holy place, you are only walking by the light of the living. And as light of the living, you must keep walking. You must love your brethren. You must love your brother. You must love them that hate you. You must love them that despisefully use you. Those are the teaching of beatitude. You must walk in love. When you walk in love, you are passing from darkness to light. Until you will find the true light. When you find the true light, that's who God is. God is light. In him, there's no darkness at all. And that's 1 John 1:4-5. Then when you see the gospel of John chapter 1, in him was light, and the light is the light of man, is the life. That's when you find that light, you have find life of man. When you find that, you have found. And that's what the Son of God has come to give. For the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding of him that is true, and we are in him that is true. Until you arrive in him that is truth, your understanding is not yet full. Things that I want you to hate will still come around you. Sometimes your brethren will do things to you that you want to hate them. Don't hate them, my brother. Don't stay there. When that thing, when you are sleeping on your bed and the thing is running to you, can you say, no, I love my brother, keep saying, I love him. As well, I love him. Keep walking, love and walk, and you are passing. You will pass. You have a testimony that you say, darkness is past already. I say, by the time we are 27, we have a testimony that darkness is past already. When true light starts shining, it's when you are a star. When you're a star in the firmament, it's a shine of the true light. Because the star is to give light in the midst of dark war. But you're not with them. You are up there. But you are shining light. That's when you see light in the night. It's shining to make that in darkness. But when you get to the wall of stars, there are starlights. That wall is lit with light. If you know where that starlight is coming from, it's coming from billions or zillions of far distance, and it's able to travel down to a dark wall. It traveled down to Milky Way that is dark. Those are prophets. Those are men with testimonies. Men with true light that is not shining. But because there's the beginning of the true light, there's the end of the true light. Gospel, I pray for us that this church will access true light. Yeah. It will be evidence that this church, men, servant of God, are being raised in their thousands. And it shall become a thousand. One shall take 1,000, and two shall put 10,000 to flight. You will see, remain spirit running from you. I said, that will be your testimony. When you become a little one, it's not the end, though. You also become a small one. A small one is he that can enter the womb. Every man child is a small one. A small one shall become what? A great nation. Servants and brethren are little one. That's why you see when he's writing, I write unto you little children. At the time, he called both the little children, young men, and father, called them little children. Because they are in the world, little children. They have not yet become small. I said, you become 1,000 on inside. Because you will use the light of the word. You will serve God acceptably, and you become little. Amen. And you will also receive testimony of Jesus and become more little. In the name of Jesus.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.